KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. The average price of a gallon of regular gas in California hit $2.75 Monday with little relief in sight. With that as a backdrop, U.S. Transportation Secretary Norm Mineta will be in Los Angeles today, where he'll announce a new Bush administration plan to require SUVs, pickup trucks, and minivans to get better gas mileage. When it comes to car theft, California automobiles are far and away the favorite target in the United States. According to a new report from the National Insurance Crime Bureau, 7 of the nation's top 10 locations for car theft are in the Golden State, 5 of them in the Central Valley. Judy Campbell reports.
For the second year in a row, Modesto has had the highest auto theft rate in the country. Number 2 is Stockton, Sacramento is 5th. Also making the top 10 are Tulare County and Fresno. So what's with the I-5 corridor? CHP Lieutenant Jeff Morris in Modesto says it's related to drugs, specifically methamphetamine addiction.
When people steal the cars, particularly it seems true here in Stanislaus County, they're not stealing them to take them out of the area, but they're just wanting to get some quick money. Things like stereo, tires, they take those things out and then try and sell them.
The good news, Lieutenant Morris says, is that more than 90% of cars are recovered, most with just minor damage. Sacramento resident Robert Lockhart wasn't so lucky. His 1989 convertible Ford Mustang was stolen recently in downtown Sacramento.
It's definitely been an awakening for me. If I ever have another muscle car again, I had the right idea. I wouldn't leave it out, take it out of my garage, but I did one time and somebody was watching me. So it's very, people are watching. That's my lesson.
When stolen cars are found in Oakland, that's number 6 on the list, they're brought to A&B Auto, where a sea of recovered stolen and police-impounded cars stretches for 30 acres. Bob Connor, A&B's general manager, wades through them and points out a sad truck likely stolen.
The way it's dismantled for a specific purpose, somebody needed a hood, a front end, bumper, some grill work, some headlights. And they took it.
Shifty mechanics looking for parts could be behind many of these thefts, according to Officer Ben Denson with the Oakland Police. But he says the majority are taken for more pedestrian reasons.
People steal cars to get from point A to point B. And since they don't have vehicles of their own, they steal other people's cars.
For those who think the dumpiness of their car works in their favor, think again. The majority of cars stolen statewide are more than 10 years old and often don't have anti-theft devices. Some basic precautions could help, like take the keys out of the ignition. For the California Report, I'm Judy Campbell.
Senator Dianne Feinstein is speaking out on the nomination of John Roberts to the U.S. Supreme Court. Feinstein told an audience in Silicon Valley Monday she won't vote for a Supreme Court nominee who wants to overturn abortion rights for women. As a moderate Democrat and a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Feinstein's views could sway others in her party. Tomorrow in Los Angeles, the senator is giving what her office calls a major speech on the Roberts nomination. And a private memorial service will be held today for the San Francisco 49ers player who died suddenly after a game with the Denver Broncos Saturday. Thomas Herrien was 23 years old and weighed at least 320 pounds. Although his family has a history of heart disease, medical experts aren't sure what caused his death. The California Supreme Court has expanded the parental rights and obligations of same-sex couples. The justices ruled Monday that lesbian mothers who help raise children are still responsible for those kids after they break up with their partners, even if they aren't biologically related to the children and didn't adopt them. The ruling breaks new legal ground in the United States. Sarah Barney has more.
The court ruled in 3 cases, all involving lesbian couples who had children and later broke up. In each case, one woman in the couple was seeking custody or child support from her ex. In the first case, the court found that a lesbian known in court papers as Elisa B. must pay child support for her former partner's 2 children, even though she is not biologically related to them. The court said because Elisa B. participated in the couple's decision to bring children into the world by artificial insemination with the intention of raising them, she is a full legal parent, though she did not adopt the children. The birth mother, Emily B., can now collect $1,800 a month in child support payments, including 4 years of arrears from her estranged partner. She said yesterday she was relieved by the court's decision.
It means that I will be able to go off of welfare and food stamps and hopefully Medi-Cal
my son Rye has Down syndrome and has a feeding tube, and so in my situation, I wasn't able to go outside of the home and get a job.
In its opinion yesterday, the court followed an earlier decision in which it said men who establish themselves as parental figures may be considered legal fathers, even if they are not biological fathers. The justices wrote they could see no reason why two women could not be considered legal parents, since state law already allows adoption by same-sex couples. The court noted the state has an interest in a child having two parents who can help pay the bills. University of Washington family law professor Lisa Kelly.
The idea of leaving a child with only one parent is one of the facts that drove these cases to be decided in the way they are. There's a long-standing presumption in the law that a child is entitled to the love and support of two parents.
Kelly says if a lesbian parent owing child support moves to another state, that state will now be required by existing federal law to collect the monthly payments. Opponents of gay rights say the court's rulings are a step toward allowing gay marriage in California. Matt Staver is president of Liberty Council, a conservative Christian group.
I think these decisions are a wake-up call to the voters of California to move forward with all haste to amend their state constitution so that it clearly and unequivocally protects marriage as the union of one man and one woman.
Santa Clara University law professor Margaret Russell says this and other recent decisions indicate the justices may be ready to overturn the state's same-sex marriage ban.
When Justice Moreno wrote, "We don't see any reason why both parents of a child cannot be women," there is an implication that in other contexts, perhaps the same argument would apply.
The state's highest court also issued opinions in two other cases involving lesbian couples who agreed to have children through assisted reproduction and later broke up. The court ruled that those women were also entitled to seek custody or child support from their estranged partners. Gay rights advocates say yesterday's rulings will affect thousands of children caught up in custody and child support lawsuits. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, August 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation, committed to improving California's healthcare delivery and financing systems, on the web at chcf.org. Charitable Auto Resources, a full-service vehicle donation program management firm, which helps nonprofit organizations increase their revenue. Online at charitableautoresources.com. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California.